is Davin's Den.
All right,
we to be like outside in your
house? We are back. Yeah. Hello, guys. Decorum. Holy crap. Welcome back to Davin's Den. Joining us from a very smoky-looking location, Kevin Israel. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't know why it looks like this.
It looks like you'd be smoking weed or like something milky and viscousy got on your lens. I don't know which it is.
My house is on fire, but I am willing to deal with it just to be here.
That's why we love you.
Coming to us from the set of Up in Smoke.
There we go.
Anyway, that's a little better.
There we go.
Of course, Kevin is a very talented comedian and also podcaster, the movie review podcast, Gutting the Sacred Cow. We certainly encourage you to check out Kevin and his co-host, Kevin Goatee, who's been on this show, too. Gutting the Sacred Cow. Fun stuff.
I got a text from
Joe, who...
I thought
Joe was gonna join us for the first segment, and Kevin was going to join us for segments two and three. So I texted Joe. I go, you know, Joe, I called you. It just went to voicemail. I thought you were joining us for hour one. He goes, oh shit! I never got any show prep, so I thought if you only had two. You had two incoming phone lines, so you, Pip, and Kevin would do the show without me, and I was being punished.
Since when do we punish each other?
No, I said, you're going to do the first hour, and, you know, all right. So that's Joe's story. So he was at a rest stop, and he left the phone in the car, so he never heard it ring, and that's, you know, just Joe being Joe. But
you know, one of his friends came into the chat room, and Cammy's in the chat room right now going, where's Joe? What'd you do with him? And I'm like, it's okay, he got a gig. He actually has something to do outside of Davin's Den tonight.
Yes, Cammy.
We
hope you stay with us, Cammy. But yes, Joe is not punished. Joe has not been disappeared. Joe had a gig, and there was apparently a miscommunication for hour one. But stick around, because we have Republican Light, used to be Republican, equally funny, Kevin Israel. I want to get into this real quick, and then I want to cover the stories. Now, Kevin worked for the Republican Party, worked on campaigns. So, I mean, we're doing some political stories tonight, so Kevin has different insights. And it was interesting, in 2016, you know, Kevin and I would be driving back when you could tour and do gigs and sit close to each other in a car without masks. You know, the good old days. And, you know, we would talk politics, and, you know, he's like, I just can't vote for Hillary, this, that, the other. And, you know, that was fine. I understood why, you know, Kevin felt that way. I don't know who we voted for in 2016. It's none of my business. But I do know now. And the past several years, Kevin is certainly not for Donald Trump. What's that been like with the people who you worked with on these campaigns and, you know, the Republican Party? You were part of the New Jersey Republican Party. How have they treated you okay? Or have you been banned?
Well, I mean, I don't really work directly in it anymore, so it hasn't affected me at all. Mm-hmm. But I think there are probably more folks on the right side of the aisle. That's the right directional, not the correct side of the aisle that agree with me than people think. And there are probably more secret anti-Trump votes from Republicans than we'll let on. And, you know, New Jersey's a blue state to begin with. It leans hard blue. We haven't. I don't know how long it's been since we've elected a Republican senator. We elect Republican governors, interestingly,
and Republican congressmen and women. You know, it depends.
Yeah. It's just, but
Whitman
overall.
Whitman, maybe.
No. Chris Christie, of course.
No, we had Christie.
Oh, Chris Christie.
New Jersey's had a lot of Republican governors, but you're right. As far as what was Reagan the last one who carried New Jersey?
Probably, yeah. I mean, at least in my experience of Republican president, I don't think it's ever carried the state while I was involved.
Was there, and then I want to get on with the stories, but I've never really asked you this stuff. I mean, was there like one particular thing with like Donald Trump we just say, because now you're, I know you're a registered independent. Was there just like one particular thing where you go, I can't do this?
I think he's just a buffoon. I think, you know.
So collectively.
The irony is, I was listening to his, the New York Times podcast, The Daily, and they had somebody on talking about his accomplishments. And to his credit, he's accomplished a lot of what he set out to accomplish. But the question is, did I want him to accomplish that, or did we as a country want him to accomplish those things? And I think the answer is probably no. But I think more concerning is just the overall tenor of his time in office and the impact it's had on the population and all the rhetoric. He's just not somebody I'm proud to have as president, you know. And I just personally don't support him. If you're the kind of person that just supports a candidate because they have an elephant or a donkey over their name, you're not really putting any thought into who you're voting for. Mm-hmm. And that's somebody's prerogative. But there have been plenty of Republican candidates that I didn't support or didn't agree with, and I didn't vote for. So, you know, we got to look a little more beyond the two parties, because the two-party system itself is inherently flawed, mm-hmm. and it's becoming more apparent today. And now, you know, we're really seeing the impact that the extremes have on the two parties. You know, you're really seeing the extreme on the left. They're much more vocal. And on the right, obviously, you know, the more conservative, ultra-conservatives, the religious right, really has the loudest voice, and now Donald Trump is really feeding into that. And a lot of that is what, as a Reagan Republican, as a moderate, socially moderate, but a, you know, economically conservative, fiscal conservative, it doesn't appeal to me. The rhetoric, all that, it just doesn't appeal to me.
Do you look at Biden as some far left liberal who's going to go give into socialism? That's the argument Joe makes.
No, he's not. Okay. Biden was never a far left liberal. He's a middle of the road Democrat.
I agree.
And you know what? I don't agree with everything he wants to do. And I have a feeling he'll be more willing to work with both sides, and he'll be more willing to listen, and he won't be beating the war drums every time somebody disagrees with him. I mean, I just don't like Donald Trump. It's really what it comes down to.
What you just said about Biden is what, actually, I was chastising the liberals in the first part of the show. I don't know if you listened to that. Because I went toe to toe with some liberals, and I said, listen, they better get ready. Biden's going to walk a tightrope because he's got to appease the Bernies, the AOCs, that, but he's also got to appease a lot of these Republicans who left Donald Trump and are helping him win. So I said, don't be surprised if you see somebody like a Kasich in the cabinet, somebody like that. And the liberals are just going to have to deal with it and understand it's for the betterment of the country if he actually does some stuff like that.
Absolutely, the more disagreement, the more contentious debate, policy debate you have, I think is only good for the country. You need different ideas.
I agree. I
want somebody who doesn't agree with me to throw out ideas, and somebody who does agree with me to challenge them and to come up with some kind of policy that's somewhere in the middle. That's how it's supposed to work.
Right. The country's broken.
We're not supposed to be all one side or the other. That's what it concerns me about the Supreme Court, and it concerns me when, you know, even when you see the Congress about to go, you know, there's a good chance the Senate flips. There's a chance we have a Democrat president and a fully Democrat Congress. And that could be a problem. That, you know, nobody should have all the power. It should never be.
Well, the problem with that, though, is now if you don't have all the power, you can't get anything done. That, because they don't work with each other anymore. So that's
a different conversation. And that's a real developed flaw in the system that comes back to the money in politics and a term limit. I mean, I posted something on Twitter about it today. Term limits are a huge problem. It's a huge problem.
Donald Trump ran on that. The first time around, Donald Trump was for term limits. Now he talks about being president forever. It's amazing what happens when you get in there. And I've argued that if Donald Trump, and Mitch McConnell didn't want to hear from term limits, didn't want nothing to do with it, but I've argued if Donald Trump, you know, made term limits a thing and held true to it, he would have gotten a lot of people on the left and the right. That's actually populist right there. People go, yeah, these guys are in power for too long. Enough with this horseshit. But he never did that.
It's not supposed to be a career. Nobody's ever supposed to be a senator for life to make their submit their bank accounts. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's completely contrary to what the founding fathers intended. There should be term limits. There should be public funding for campaigns. Take all the money out of it.
We agree.
Those two policies would completely change our political system. It'll never happen. But that's what the system needs.
I agree.
A nonpartisan issue. They're both nonpartisan issues. They cut both ways. They affect both parties equally.
Yeah.
And it would completely change how our politicians handle leading and the way the public and those in office view their offices.
No, we agree. You and I agree on a lot of things, even though we were on different teams. I was an independent when I was in New Jersey, but coming to New York, if you want to vote in a primary, you got to pick a side. So
I had a thing in New Jersey. It's the same thing in New Jersey.
Oh, that changed. That changed because when I was voting in primaries in New Jersey, I could vote as an independent, as I recall. But then when I went to New York, I wanted to vote in the Democratic primary for Obama, so I had to register as a Democrat. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I was sinking my teeth into the liberals earlier in the show, and I worry like you do. That they're going too far to the left. They're doing this purity nonsense. I worry you're going to get a cult on the left like you have with the Trumpsters, and it's a real problem. It's not good for the country.
Oh, you will, and that's why I'm happy that there's somebody like Biden then who really is more to the middle. It's going to be a challenge for him to lead, especially in this time coming. If he's elected, it's going to be a challenge for him to lead in this time coming off of Trump, and we're so divided and so partisan. But, you know, hopefully people will come back around. I'm hoping that there's a lot of Republicans in Congress who, you know, if Trump loses, they'll just go, now we can start acting normal again.
Yeah, I don't think so, Kevin. I honestly, I wouldn't trust any of these Republicans now. It's not like you have a John McCain Republican who's like, I'm a Republican, I'm going to vote with the president on some things because I agree with that, and then there's other things I don't agree with. They have sold their soul. The Republican Party needs to die, and there needs to be a new conservative party because the Republicans are no longer conservative.
What there really needs to be is a third party. There needs to be a third party for everybody in the middle.
Yeah, well, we're not getting that.
Parties are going so far to their outer side. There needs to be a party for moderates. Who are willing to look at both ends and be reasonable. And that's what has to happen.
You know, you could have run that ticket. You could have actually run a Biden Kasich ticket, and you actually could have done that. I don't think Biden needs to do that. I think he's going to win. But that was just as an example of, you know, because I think most people, although they don't agree with Kasich on things like abortion and everything, I think most people on the left who are clear thinking go, he seems reasonable. We could probably work with him on something. So I think if you had like a split presidential ticket like
that's the bar now. He's not crazy.
Yeah.
Let's get him in office.
I was texting with my neighbor he texted me during the debates, and I go, listen, I just want somebody in office with compassion and empathy. That's where my bar is. That's where we are, which just tells you how bad we are as a country right now.
You want a human being, Davin? That's not an option.
Well,
you don't get to have humans in office anymore.
I'm willing to have a robot, but if we have a robot, they have to act rationally. I'm willing to take the. I don't want any rational, non-emotional entity there. That's all. Like, I don't want this. I don't want cultists on either side. I want people to be better informed. I want people to think. Basically, I need to move. That's what I'm saying.
But, yes.
All right, let's get to some stories. I just wanted to have that conversation because you and I haven't really had that conversation. I mean, Kevin and I will message each other every couple of weeks, go, can you get a load of this shit? And I'll see Kevin get, like, attacked on his page by Republicans the way I get attacked on other people's pages by liberals. And it's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you animals? But anyway, all right.
Yep.
So this is an interesting story. I was unaware of this. States all over the country are increasing and encouraging mail-in voting due to the coronavirus pandemic, but that very illness could result in additional complications should voters die before Election Day after submitting their ballots. There is no uniform rule governing how such votes should be handled, and key battleground states have split over whether they should count. Florida, a key swing state with 29 electoral votes, has a statute specifically stating that votes do count even if the voter dies before Election Day, as long as a ballot is postmarked before they died. 9 other states also count votes after a person dies. California Secretary of State Alex Padilla justified it by noting that people vote early in person as well, and there would be no way of throwing out that ballot if they die afterward. The issue has caused confusion even among counties in the same state. Another key state, Ohio, does not have any statute addressing this. As a result, counties had different policies until the Cleveland Plain Dealer asked the Ohio Secretary of State's office. If you cast a ballot and pass away, your ballot still counts, spokesman Matt McClellan told the newspaper, noting that because there was no addressing the issue, the vote should count. So there are states where it does not count. Wisconsin elected officials get monthly updates with records of death certificates from each county, and they are supposed to compare them to state voter rolls. If they find that a voter has died, they are to notify the local county clerk, which would change the person's voting status. So in Michigan, 864 ballots were thrown out during this year's primary election after officials discovered that voters had died. So there's all these stories. I didn't even consider anything like this. I don't think most of us ever thought about something like that. I don't even know how I come down on. I kind of feel if you could determine that somebody has died, then their vote shouldn't count because they're no longer here to live with the consequences. But I don't know if that's right either.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When you sent me this article initially, I and this is something I've heard talked about, obviously, in the news. And it's something that has been, I mean, this isn't like completely unknown. We've had early voting. We've had mail-in ballots before.
Sure.
So this isn't a complete alien situation. But at the volume we're obviously going to have this year is going to be much bigger. But when I first read the article, I was like, of course you should allow them. They were alive when they voted. It would be just like if they went to the ballot, if they went to the voting booth, you know, voted and then dropped dead.
Right.
Like, there's no difference from that situation. So, but now, but you know, the more I thought about it, I'm kind of like, but if you know they're dead before election day, whatever, you know,
before you count the tally, before the count,
right? Maybe, you know, maybe it shouldn't. I don't, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I don't know that I care one way or another, but I think I care that there should be one uniform rule across the country.
I agree with you. I agree. I think. For federal elections, states could do whatever they want in local elections. But for federal elections, I really feel like we should have a certain set of standards that govern all the rules. Right now, we have different voting rules for the president, too. It's too much. It's unwieldy.
Yeah.
I have to say that I do think that the even for federal, I think that there should be a standard. There should be one rule for all. But I do think that the vote should stay, because I think going back and forth and trying to figure out, okay, who's dead, who's alive, it's a waste of time. At the moment that they voted, that was their choice, I think it should stand.
But if you can get the answers, which Wisconsin can,
mm-hmm.
I'm like Kevin, I don't really feel strongly either way, but I mean, if you can get the answers, then why would you say that? They don't have to deal with their repercussions. They're a non-entity now.
Right.
I'll tell you what. No, go ahead, please.
Go ahead.
I think that for this year, just because this is going to be such a cluster to begin with, I think they should count them. Because the if they're going to start fighting over going back and checking who's dead and who's alive, we're going to tack another month on to knowing who the hell is president. I think until they can come up with some uniform system or some way to make this all work for this year, if you voted and you were alive when you put the ballot in the post box or in the ballot box, it counts.
Here's what's interesting about that, though. So in Florida, where they do count the votes if you die, and I understand it's Florida people, it's a lot of old people there. It makes sense there in Florida. But so in Florida, they count the votes if you passed away. Yet if you are a former felon, you cannot vote in Florida, even though the people said they want you to vote. So you could be very much alive and have paid your debt to society, but you can't vote. But zombie can vote. That's where we are.
makes completely sense in 2020.
But in 2020, but in any other year, it makes no sense. I don't think there's an easy answer. You know what? It's probably easiest to just count it, but it should be something to be looked at. And the fact that Ohio didn't have – it was different from county to county, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, no, I agree with what Kevin said. This year is just going to be a cluster to start with, so let's just leave sleeping dogs lie, let it count, whatever you take in, as long as they're legitimate votes, count them, and we'll figure it out later. But there should be a ruling.
I would run for office and go, listen, vote for me, whether you're dead or alive, it counts. That would be my platform. You don't even have to be alive when I win, but just know in heaven that...
I only want the dead vote.
I want the dead vote. I want the...
Only if you're going to die before I get into office, vote for me.
I would campaign in hospices. That's what I would do. What is that, a zombie? Is that a Mexican zombie? What is that?
Yeah, that's a Day of the Dead figurine.
Oh, okay.
Coco?
Can you see him?
I would...
There he
is. But I can't see his face.
I would...
It's a skull.
I would campaign in hospices and ICUs. That's like you would see Rosenblatt 2024 banners in those places. As you're on your deathbed dying, you'll see my stupid name and know that you can make a difference. That's where I would go. I'm not going to fucking Iowa. I'm like Donald Trump. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in Erie, Pennsylvania. I'd rather be with the dead.
Rosenblatt 2024, just hold on.
Or not. My platform is just hold on or don't. It doesn't matter to me. Just make sure you vote.
Or don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this whole thing reminds me of when my Nana died and my aunts, there were a bunch of them, were taking their sweet time about probating her will. And these were older women, and in the time between when Nana died and when they actually took care of the will, two of these women died, one of them including my mother. And one of my cousins was making the argument that, oh, well, now we only have to split it two ways. And it's like, no. She said split it amongst all of them, and just because you took so long dealing with this, years, that two of them died, it doesn't mean whoever's left wins.
Wait them out.
You greedy fuck.
Wait them out.
So it kind of reminds me, it's like, no. You don't not count people because you took so long that they died in between. No.
Let's be honest, and then we'll move on, though. If you're as old as Joe Biden and Donald Trump, it's not a bad idea to go for the dead vote. I mean, that really is your sweet spot.
I mean, you're probably going to be hanging out with them sooner or later.
Exactly. Some would say they're almost there. So...
That is the sweet spot in their, the electorate.
All right, let's move on. So a Miami police officer got in trouble for wearing a Trump mask. At least he wore a mask that said Trump 2020, no more bullshit, while in full uniform in voting. So he walks into his voting area. You're allowed to vote as a police officer on duty. So he's got his uniform on, but he's in this polling area and he's got his Trump 2020 no more bullshit mask on. So this upset the Democrats, and I guess the police officer's name is Ubeda, so he should be suspended immediately. Not only is this an egregious form of voter intimidation, but it's also a crime. The officer laughed it off when he was questioned about his mask. Simeon Edis is from the Democratic Party down there. A deputy police chief, Ron Papiar, told the newspaper that Ubeda violated two department policies and will be reprimanded. Obviously, this is a clear violation of our department policy regarding campaigning while on duty. Additionally, the mask has offensive language, which is also a violation of department policy. Kevin, when you used to have to watch the elections, was this something where the police officers were making their choices known in the polling place?
No, I mean, I've never seen this, but you're also not supposed to have any campaign paraphernalia within 100 feet of a polling location. I think it's 100 feet of a polling location. Whether or not that counts as campaign paraphernalia because he's wearing it, you know, I mean, I would probably say it does, because otherwise then you could just have all of your supporters just roll through the polling location wearing your shirts or whatever and just keep – be beating that drum because you can't have a sign or whatever. Does it pass the smell test? No. But is it such an egregious thing? Is it, you know, I think the aura of Trump and the Trump cult of personality, there's so many good issues to take on, and there's so much wrong with his core supporters that I think people lose focus and start to target shit like that. Like, don't waste your time with this.
Well, Pip blogged about this. I think she has a different opinion.
Yeah, I actually think, to use your word, I don't think it's egregious in and of itself, this one act, but just picture, you know, you're intimidated, you're afraid that people are going to show up and they're going to try to force you or, you know, suppress you from voting, and here's a police officer wearing something that is for one candidate over the other. I think that there's been too many over history there has been acts of voter suppression and, you know, intimidation, but I mean, I think in this really divisive environment, having a police officer show up in uniform wearing something for one or the other is a more overt act, and I think that he should be handled appropriately by his department.
I don't disagree. There should be some action taken by his department. He's being a dick.
He violated two policies. I mean, it's bad enough he's got his Trump 2020 on while he's voting in uniform, but then no more bullshit. I mean, you don't want your cops doing that.
Right.
It's the behavior of a cop. But as far as whoever the Democrat official comes out, this is a great, you know, there's the political issue, and then there's the professional issue as far as a cop and how he behaves. I think this falls into, were it me responding on behalf of the Democrats, I would have said, you know, this looks bad for the police. They shouldn't be behaving like this. I'm sure his union and the police and the department will take care of it appropriately. We expect better from our police, and then just move on. But to sit and say, this is egregious, and make a whole thing out of this, you just sound whiny, which is a problem with the Democrat Party, is they sound whiny about everything.
That's the sweet spot.
Not everything is the sky is falling. You know, sometimes you have to take the higher road and let kind of nature take its course.
Yeah, but I feel
like you're the bigger person.
I feel like you're cutting out the foundation of the Democrats. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. Trump has taken over the whining. Yeah, I mean, Trump's taken over the whining, but before that, that was a Democratic. If we can't whine, what do we have, Kevin?
Well, Cammy in the chat room says that her taxes pay cop salaries, and she thinks it's wrong.
That is. Yeah, I mean, that's very true, too. I mean, listen, man, as a police officer, you'd like to, Cammy's right, you'd like to think they're working for all of us, regardless of what they believe. You know, it's just like, and then, you know, I think the article raised, or maybe Pip raised it in her blog, which you can check out on davincomedy.com. What happens if something goes down between a Trump supporter and a non-Trump supporter, and this is the police officer there? Is he going to mete out justice evenly? Hopefully, but now you have something in the back of your mind where maybe he's not, because he's clearly on one side, where if he just walked in there and voted for Trump but nobody knew what he was voting for, it wouldn't even cross your mind.
That was from my blog.
Yeah, and that's why he should be reprimanded by his department. But the overall sentiment and the statement that comes out of these parties when something happens, it's just not everything is, you know, this massive politically significant. Some things you can just take a higher road and show that you're the bigger person. The contrast you want to cut with Donald Trump as a candidate is that you're the adult in the room.
Yes.
And that you're going to handle things like an adult.
No,
and when the Democrat Party comes out and goes, this isn't right, we need to do something about it. It's like, well, are you any better than this moron?
Yeah, but you're flipping out over the small stuff. It doesn't. When everybody's rhetoric is at tilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like you have to pick and choose. But I think that at the polling place, it is more egregious than if he wore that into the coffee shop, picking up, you know, the bunches of coffees for the guys. You know, I think it it's weighted much more heavily to me.
All right, let's move on to the next one, which is, I don't know if you guys saw the video, caught the audio of it. I'm going to play the audio. This happened in New York City. This is from an NYPD police officer. He gets on the megaphone. The squad car's parked in the street, and he's making his feelings known. He's very very pro-Trump. And
2020. Put it on YouTube. Put it on Facebook. Trump 2020.
Trump 2020.
Trump 2020.
All right, so I don't know if everybody heard that. The officer's like, Trump 2020, take a picture, put it on Facebook, have some fun with it. Trump 2020, a tough guy. This is a police officer. It sounds like somebody you see in a bar itching for a fight. Like the stereotypical Trump meathead seeing the stereotypical latte liberal in the bar picking a fight. That's what it sounds like coming out of this megaphone of a police car on duty. So this caused some controversy. So here's the story behind it. This just happened, by the way. The department's official NYPD news Twitter account shared one video posted of the incident and said that the Brooklyn South Investigation Unit was investigating the matter. NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea also commented on the matter, calling the incident 100% unacceptable. Law enforcement must remain apolitical. It is essential in our role to serve all New Yorkers, regardless of any political beliefs. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who's very popular wherever he goes, also commented on the incident through his Twitter account on Sunday. Can we stop with the fucking Twitter? Can we please have a press conference? Ever since Donald Trump, we all have to tweet shit. Get in front of a damn microphone. I can't. And you know all these people, all these signers, people who do sign language that are out of work because they're all tweeting now? It's not fair. Stimulate the economy. But I digress. All right. So de Blasio says, let me be clear. Any NYPD officer pushing any political agenda while on duty will face consequences. We will act fast here, and this will not be tolerated. The NYPD News provided an update Sunday afternoon that said the officer was suspended without pay effective immediately while he was under investigation. Two different videos were shared online in what appeared to be the same incident from Saturday night. All right. So it's unclear what happened prior to the videos. The person then recording it calls the officer an effing fascist, which really doesn't help. But whatever, it's just a civilian. I mean, whatever. They don't have any standards to live to. Endorsing a political candidate or sharing personal views while in uniform or while on duty is outlined as prohibited conduct in the NYPD's patrol guide. The interaction seemed to occur in the Flatbush neighborhood of Brooklyn. Saturday was also the start of early in-person voting in New York City, with thousands of residents turning out to polling sites across the five boroughs. Brandon Hines posted the video taken by a roommate from their apartment window, which picks up at the end of the exchange documented in the other video. Trump 2020, the officer said again, put it on YouTube, put it on Facebook, Trump 2020. What is he, the social media guy? Shut the fuck up, stupid.
Apparently.
Hines, a screenwriter, of course he is, who has lived in Flatbush and you can find at Starbucks since 2013, confirmed that he and his roommate witnessed the incident to NBC News. He heard the commotion at about 10 p.m. because it's Saturday night and nobody's dating anymore, and went to watch after he heard a bystander arguing with the officer. It wasn't even about the Trump 2020. I just want to make sure that person had another pair of eyes on them to make sure they're safe. Is this going to go viral? I hope it goes viral. The 34-year-old said that the energy in the neighborhood and surrounding Prospect Park shifted after the George Floyd protests over the summer, and that it wasn't the first time he's witnessed police officers using their bullhorn to taunt passersby. The Police Benevolent Association, one of the largest police unions representing New York City officers, endorsed President Donald Trump's bid for re-election back in August. The union responded to concerns of police impartiality as hysterical nonsense. I could see Joe saying that. I could just see Joe in his disgusted look of hysterical. That's a phrase Joe would do. I don't feel like I'm talking out of school here. On Tuesday, in response to an op-ed questioning whether officers could be trusted to keep the post-election peace. The PBA endorses candidates every year, the union tweeted. Every year, NYC cops protect the rights of all voters to cast their ballots valid and peace. Hines doesn't know why the officer chose to send the political message using police equipment seemingly on duty, but is surprised that it would happen following the police union endorsement of the president. This completely tracks, it completely tracks why this person would feel emboldened to say Trump 2020 on a bullhorn in a black neighborhood, Hines said. If I'm a writer, which I am, this story tracks from start to finish. Hines said, while condemnation of the incident from city officials is a good start, there needs to be more than just words in this case. It's all about action. People can say what they want in 2020, but everyone's waiting for the action. Everyone's watching. Me and my roommate up above here, just two fellers hanging out on a Saturday night with our phones ready to go. We're watching. The sergeant, now here's where it really gets interesting. The sergeant's beloved association has accused NYPD top brass of a double standard. After an officer who, after this guy was suspended over patrol car loudspeaker, which his boss was praised for, so this guy's direct boss was praised for taking a knee with Black Lives Matter protests earlier in the year. The NYPD has a history of officers making political and outside the norm statements and ignoring it, the SPA tweeted Sunday amid the investigation into Saturday's incident in Brooklyn. Suspending this officer is unnecessary and way over the top. Chief of department took a knee with protesters. No disciplinary action was issued, the SPA said of Terrence Monahan. The union then took even more direct aim at Monahan, retweeting his claim that officers have to remain apolitical, along with New York Post photo of him taking a knee with George Floyd protesters on June 1st. What's the status of this investigation? Oh, wait. Double standard. White shirt immunity, the SBA tweeted. Terrence, you said nothing when captains and chiefs took a knee with violent protesters who injured members of the NYPD. You say nothing to those who sing and dance in uniform, New York Post reported. Now your little itsy-bitsy balls are in de Blasio's palm and you tweet nonsense. Relax, take a knee, the union raged. The officer whom police source identified as Arthur Becerra of the 70th Precinct was suspended without pay. The SBA said officers are rightfully supporting the president. The Democratic Party has abandoned police officers, encouraged violence and lawlessness. People are being murdered in Democratic-run cities, but no murders in Republican-run cities. Not a one. The union wrote, tagging President Trump as well as his son, Eric and Don Jr., because we want them to see we're fighting the good fight, Mr. President. All right. There's a lot here. I think we would all agree that the police officer chanting Trump 2020 and taunting while in a squad car, not good behavior.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously using police equipment to promote a political standing is not right and is, for a variety of reasons. I'm sure it's a policy violation internally. I mean, he could have, if he was running in a squad car chanting, you know, I like my farts, it still wouldn't be right. Like, you can't, there are specific purposes you can use the police equipment, and I'm sure that was a violation of that alone, leaving aside the speech behind it.
Wait a second. Because I do chart these things, is it I like my farts or I light my farts?
I think either. I was going with like, but, I mean, lighting is, you know.
Is lighting? Okay. Sorry.
I think that's kind of a no-brainer. Like, he shouldn't have been doing that. I think then the question is, okay, well, what would the normal punishment be for improper use of police equipment by an officer? And then whatever that, is it suspension? Is it normally suspension? If it is, then fine. If it's not, then we might want to look at, like, why is he receiving a harsher punishment?
I think it's more than just misusing equipment.
What's that?
I think it's more than just misusing equipment. He's making the job harder for other police officers who have to patrol that neighborhood. Because maybe these people already distrust the police. There's a good chance they do, especially if it's a white police officer in a black neighborhood. By his little stunt, I would argue, he's possibly endangering his fellow police officers. So it's more than just misusing equipment going, I like farts. He's being antagonistic, and it's irresponsible.
Yeah, but I don't think as an association, as a policy matter, You can't say because he was saying Trump 2020 and whatever else he was chanting is more problematic than him chanting, you know, the Giants suck.
Right, but no, he was going Trump 2020, so he's making his political affiliation. But then he's going, oh, tough guy, tough guy. He's antagonistic. Put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's not just the Trump 2020. It's the whole thing. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I see your point, but I think a lot of times these different rules and policies have to be handled and meted out with sort of a black letter view. But the issue I had was when the union compared that to the police captain or whoever it was kneeling with Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a social movement. It was during a time of unrest that was an effort to quell violence and to bring sides together. It's completely different than just shouting out what presidential candidate you support. There's obviously an intent there to do the right thing versus the intent just to be a jackass.
Yeah, no,
yeah, I agree.
I agree with you 100%. The police officer in that case, in the Black Lives Matter thing, he's trying to keep this area together. He, you know, around that time, cities were on fire. There were people were rumbling with the police and everything. This is I looked at it as a leadership thing. And by him kneeling with the Black Lives Matters protesters, I didn't take it as he's endorsing people attacking the police. I didn't look at it like that. I look at it as like, listen, man, this is my neighborhood. This is my precinct. We got to keep this shit together. We got to be in this together. And very much more often than not, the NYPD has been very good at handling these protests where other police departments seem to lose their shit and feel scared at the drop of a coin. For the most part, the NYPD is very good. They'll let the protesters have their room, but then when they need them to go someplace, they'll talk to who's ever leading that protest and go, listen, you can't be here. You got to go this way. You can keep it going, but this is – I look at them as some of the best. So I think this union chief is making a big mistake. I look at what this – I think it was Monahan who is the one who took a knee. He's keeping the union members safe. You don't want the police to be looked at as the enemy, and that's what's going on right now. Where too many people are looking at the police as the enemy, and that doesn't do any of us good, especially the police. The more people that look at the police as an enemy, the more chance one of the police officers is not going home that night. And we don't want that. We want all the police going home. We want all the protesters going home. We want who's ever pulled over for a stupid speeding ticket going home.
Right.
So I agree with you. The attack was completely off base.
Yeah, and it just seems like here's another example where somebody, this union rep, is trying to misunderstand, like deliberately misunderstand the fact that the Black Lives Matter movement is not antithetical to believing in the power and the usefulness, for lack of a better word at the moment, of police department. They're not natural enemies. If one believes that Black Lives Matter, it doesn't necessarily make the person anti-police department. They're just making the point. Listen, you know, we want you to notice that this inequity is going on and protect us. And so I think it was really smart at that time for that police officer to say, "Yes, we acknowledge what you're saying."
To go back to the original thing, then we'll move on with the Trump 2020 thing. I don't think it serves the police, and I don't think it serves society if people look at the police as partisan, just like it wouldn't serve society and the military if people looked at the military partisan. Yes, a lot of them tend to be right-wing, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. You can vote for whoever you want. You're an American. But if you're advertising it, it makes it more partisan and distrusted. It'd be the same thing if they were saying Biden 2020. It doesn't help. It's not doing anything. Vote for whoever you want to on your own time. Put your lawn sign up in front of your house. You have that right. But when you're on the job and your job is to serve the community, serve society, put your politics aside.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
All right. So this next story, we were going to cover it last week, but we didn't get to it because we did that whole in-depth thing on the Hunter Biden computer. So this is about a white teacher in Florida who says she does not like blacks. So there's two clips. The first clip is what was originally leaked, which is shorter. And then there's a second clip, which is longer, which gives more context. You know, you hear a white teacher go, "I don't like blacks," and you immediately go, "Well, that's a no-brainer. This one should be fired." But maybe with some more context, she shouldn't be fired. We'll let you guys decide.
Never had to go through that struggle, but there's some black people that live in communities where the cops do not treat them right. You understand?
Okay, like, Stop! I want to be very clear. What you don't know about me can fill a freaking swimming pool. I was 16 years old, and I was attacked on a MARTA train by a gang, and yes, gang, wearing bandanas, gang sign, language of blacks, in Metro Atlanta. I have as much right as anybody else to dislike blacks for what happened to me. So you don't get to sit there and preach to me what I do and don't know.
Now we have an update to a story that WFTV Tonight brought you first. We showed you the video of some controversial comments about race made by an Osceola County teacher during an online class. It was recorded. Since then, we got our hands on more recordings from that class that day. Alexa Lorenzo also spoke to the students involved. Alexa, this new video gives a lot more context.
And that class was happening just the way I'm doing this live report on Microsoft Teams. So it was recorded. And tonight, this new video from a student gives us more of that context that we've been looking for, Greg. The student told me his teacher is a good person, and the video clip that has been circulating on social media is just one piece of the discussion.
Stop right there, David. Stop.
The student who received this response from Poinciana High School teacher Tracy Brown.
I want to be very clear.
Explained to me by text how the conversation in Monday's online class took this turn.
I have as much right as anybody else to dislike blacks.
David says it all started with a discussion in social studies about the Black Lives Matter movement.
You're implying that black lives are more important than anybody else. And I have a problem with that.
He responded.
Miss, I'm going to have to stop you right there.
And Ms. Brown goes back and forth with him and other students, bringing up violence at protests.
Y'all aren't going to agree with me because we were raised differently.
A few seconds later, she explains.
I was 16 years old, and I was attacked on a MARTA train by a gang. And yes, gang, wearing bandanas, gang sign, language of blacks in Metro Atlanta. I have as much right as anybody else to dislike blacks for what happened to me.
That was the clip that was posted all over social media. But the longer video we got from a student Wednesday shows us how Ms. Brown continues.
However, I'm a little bit more educated than probably the average member of that gang put together. And I was raised that skin tone is nothing but pigment. It has nothing to do with who you are on the inside.
Then she circles back to the Black Lives Matter movement.
What I have seen this entire summer is nothing but entitled, self-righteous individuals.
And students were stunned.
Oh, wow. We shouldn't be talking about this. It's going to get pretty bad.
A student who did not want to be identified explained how Monday's second period social studies class started with a lesson about the Constitution.
We're going over there. Amendments and stuff like that. Some kids started asking different things.
And the lesson veered off course and turned to this instead.
I guarantee you, you wouldn't support the movement at its heart.
Students say they wish it wouldn't have gotten to this point.
I took offense in it because I am black. I didn't want her like say anything about this at all.
And in one clip, Ms. Brown tells her students.
I was using it as an example not to start an argument in this class.
Now, discussions of this dialogue are continuing virtually tonight. Thousands of people have now signed an online petition calling for this teacher to be disciplined. The investigation is still in its early phases with the Osceola County School District and the Teachers Union. Osceola County Education Association says Ms. Brown is one of their members, and they will make sure she gets...
All right, so this was supposed to be a constitutional, supposed to be a lesson about the Constitution. How it got to Black Lives Matter, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe free speech, I have no idea. So she's been reassigned to a position outside the classroom with no interaction with students as school officials investigate, the Osceola County School District spokeswoman Dana Schaefer told the Post on Thursday. Racism, intolerance, and injustice have no place in our communities or in our schools, district officials said in a statement. We will not tolerate behavior by students or staff which insults, degrades, or stereotypes any race, gender, disability, physical condition, ethnic group, religion, or sexual orientation. Brown, who first joined the district in 2012, left 3 years later before returning in 2018, Schaefer said. There's some interesting things here. It's first of all, it seems like these students generally like this teacher. Because you're not hearing, like, you know, these hard stories about, like, how horrible she was. They were just like, wow, we just really wish it didn't go there. Like they seem to grasp. They don't like what she said, but they seem to have a rapport with her and like her. And now they just saw that this is not going to end well with her. You know, I think it brings you would like to think a good social studies class, you could bring in current events. Like, I asked my daughter, are they talking about, like, current events in school? And for the most part, she says no. And I guess this is a reason why you can't. But I think she could have talked about Black Lives Matter. But I think the way to do it would not be giving her opinion on Black Lives Matter, which she did. I think she could ask the class what they think, and then if nobody had the alternative, you would go, well, some people say this about the Black Lives Matter movement. And go, listen, they think it's racist, this, that, the other thing. They think all lives matter. What do you guys think about that? I think you can have that class, but you have to be a very skilled teacher, and you have to know that it could end badly. What do you guys think?
Go ahead.
My sister's actually a teacher in Florida, and this is such a Florida story.
it is.
I personally, if I was a teacher, I would stay away from the entire topic. There's just no good to be had from it. The story that she tells is ridiculous, and I hope as she was saying it, she was thinking, why am I saying this? Because you just have to know. There's a certain thing, especially right now, right in this moment, maybe a year from now when things have hopefully gotten better and the issue is cooled, we can have some kind of dialogue about the value of the Black Lives Matter and the real sentiment behind the Black Lives Matter movement. But as a teacher right now, I would honestly just stay away from it. And the fact that she got into that story and then she said, I have the right to not like black people. I mean, that sentence alone, taken out of context or in context, you can't say it. You just can't.
No,
I mean,
you can't. Listen. Does she have the right not to like somebody based on their skin color? She has the right. It's certainly not something you want to say at your workplace. I mean, you might want to say that when you're gathered around the burning cross. I mean, if that's your
thing. I said for years, I was so much happier when people just went about their day and thought their horrible thoughts and I never had to know about it.
Yeah.
But now thanks to social media and 24-hour news, I have to know what everybody's thinking at all the times, and I hate everybody. And this is what you're seeing. This is, I mean, you know what? This is tantamount to the cop, you know, expressing his political views. You can think whatever you want. But you're on taxpayer time. You're serving a purpose to educate our kids. This isn't the time for your personal opinions and your personal stories that impact this whole the whole educational experience. It's just kind of common sense. If she was going to tell a story about her experience with the Black Lives Matter movement and. You know what? I take it back. Don't touch it.
You know what? I listened to this woman speak on this, and I'm like, this woman's suffering from PTSD. She has not gotten over this. She needs help, and I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but it seems like this has been very traumatic, and like I could hear the pain in this woman's voice. You know, there's some people that are like, oh, I hate black people, and there's really no reason for it, and I'm not saying she has a reason for it, but I'm saying I get why she would say that, even though she's saying, I don't hate black people, I could. I heard a woman who is in pain. That being said, I don't know if in the high school class in social studies is the place to go over that.
No,
yeah, you would have to tread very carefully, and as David said, you'd have to be a really good teacher, you know, somebody who is able to explain themselves very well to cover this topic at all in the classroom. And I mean, if they were talking about current events, this would be an appropriate discussion. Now, how they got from this from the amendments, I'm not really sure. But the other thing is that she's obviously she's not dealt with this past trauma. Now, the fact that it brought her to the conclusion that she doesn't like black people in general, because the black people, you know, were the ones that happened to attack her. That's sad, you know. But that she's generalized that to they all suck, you know. But
you get it.
The fact that she's saying that to her black and brown students,
yeah, it's a problem.
Is really it's a sad moment. It was inappropriate.
Here's what I would do if I was the school. First of all, I would want to hear from the students. I would want to hear from the students what their experience with this teacher has been up until this point. If they're generally supportive of this teacher, and again, I'm just getting the feeling that it seems like they are, here's what I would tell the teacher. I would go, listen, we got to suspend you. With that, you need to get some counseling about what happened to you. Your job is going to be here, you know, in 6 months, a year from now. We don't want to terminate you. You're well-liked. But we can't have you in the classroom teaching our students in the mindset that you are. Because this is not very deep. This came out really easily for her. And you heard the students go, wow, we didn't really want it to go there. Nobody knew this was coming, but this was not very... See, what I'm good at is I can repress shit. There's all sorts of fucked up shit in here. All sorts of slights and grievances that I have. But I push it down so I seem like I'm functioning, so I could be out in polite society and just let it all fucking vomit out on this show. See, that's what you need. You need a radio show or a podcast. You can't be in front of the kids letting all your traumas come out. She needs help. I really hope she doesn't lose her job. Again, this is just me drawing into something. So many times you go, all right, well, this person's just stupid. They just made a bad decision. This person needs to get fired. I don't think that happened here. I think this woman had no idea this was going to happen, had no idea this was in her, and it just went horribly, horribly wrong because she's in a lot of pain.
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, we're all getting along fine. You know how much I hate Jews, guys. But I keep that down so that we can do a show together.
It's why we're all separated, not because of COVID. It's for Kevin and my safety. That's why.
It's for your safety.
I didn't want Pip to attack me.
Yes.
Because you know, as soon as I heard Israel, I started to like vibrate and see red.
You should have heard what his grandfather's name is.
A lot of people start vibrating as soon as they see me. So
wow,
I'm used to it.
Kevin, Israel's not your real name. What was your real name? Did your grandfather change it, Kevin? What did he change it from?
Well, you know what? If you want to hear about that, some of you should come out to a show, and I'll regale with you the whole history of my family name.
There's a reason to go see Kevin Israel, if that's your real name, on stage, so you can learn more about that.
Well, I did hear that his family wanted to make it less Jewish, and this is what they settled on, which is confusing.
Heard that somewhere. I heard somebody saying that they wanted to make it less Jewish. Anyway,
you guys just want to do my act for the rest of the show.
I've seen it enough.
Entertaining for me, anyway.
Kevin, tell me what's going on in the shower situation when you live with a woman. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Gavin and I have worked together far too much.
But not enough recently, unfortunately.
Yeah, enough. Actually, yeah, well, that's the truth. Yeah.
But you were going to say something.
Many years ago, Davin and I did, we worked together so often, many years ago, that we knew each other's acts backward and forward. We decided just to amuse ourselves to do each other's act one night, and much confusion reigned.
Well, the thing is, Pip used to talk about her boobs and called them the girls, so I was on stage talking about the girls and bras and everything. And I got to tell you, I felt I did very well with it.
I think that you covered my act really well. I thought I did particularly well when I was talking about my girlfriend recoiling from my farts in the car.
Yeah, but people looked and go, yeah, I believe that. You look gassy. Kevin, you were going to say something before Pip and I went down memory lane.
Something reasonable.
Yes.
You know what? I don't remember.
All right, we'll move on. We'll move
I'm
on.
I'm sorry. Before I went all anti-Semitic on your ass. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it burst out from the trauma.
All right, so I'm going to...
Stepping always ruins my train of thought.
School of Fools. All right, so this is this was on Reddit. And we actually took a poll of this. By the way, we did an online poll for whether the vote should be counted in the election if you're dead, and it was 100% yes. Usually it's like divided. Everybody said that the dead should get their vote counted. But anyway, so I did a poll on this.
I love that.
Oh, okay. So a teacher, she's out celebrating her 27th birthday out with her friends. She's a kindergarten teacher. Some of the kids, I guess she's at a restaurant, some of the kids with their parents come in. The parents with the kids come over, say hello, exchange pleasantries, go on their own way. So later on, the teacher's drinking some wine, and some expletives flow out of her mouth. So now, the parents being Karen, go to the teacher and complain about her to the teacher, and then to the principal about this behavior. So now the teacher's worried, am I going to get in trouble or not? But the principal said, you know what? She's off the clock. She's not being their teacher right now. She's out. So she got in no trouble. So what do you do as a teacher to youngsters when you're out having a good time? Do you change your behavior? Is there a duty? Maybe there's no duty and you just should. What do you do in that situation?
I have a lot of friends who are teachers, and I've had a lot of teachers in my life, and I know that typically teachers try to avoid places where they think they're going to run into their students or their students' parents, specifically for this reason. It happens, though. A lot of times teachers try not to work in the towns where they teach, some of the cops not living in the towns where they patrol, but it happens, and you're going to run into these people. If you're out at a restaurant where they legally serve liquor, and you weren't, I think everybody in the story said, like, she wasn't drunk. It wasn't like she was standing on the bar throwing a bra around. She was having an adult conversation, and she used profanity as adults do. And there's no, I read the story, but I don't remember how this became a story. However, this ended up getting out to the media.
No, she posted it on Reddit. She posted it on Reddit and Yahoo.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're right, right, right. She's stupid. If there's anything she did wrong, it was taking this story to Reddit to make it a thing. Because now, I tell you what, as a school district, I'd be like, why are you airing your dirty laundry?
Well, but she didn't. But there's no names here. There's no names here. And then Yahoo picked it up. But there's no names, there's no school districts. So, I mean, you could just be anonymous posting. I could see somebody posting it anonymously on Reddit or some news board, go, hey, this is what happened to me. What do you guys?
Yeah, but once the media got a hold of it and became a story, I'm not saying it's right, but I could see that being the issue. But as far as her actual behavior in the restaurant, that's ridiculous. And the fact that this parent went to her and said, hey, which is also ridiculous, but she went up to her and said, you need to behave differently. You shouldn't be drinking in front of students. As her mom, I'm sure, was slamming Chardonnays by the fucking gallon.
Yes.
And she's like, you son of a classic in front of your teacher. That's ridiculous. But then the fact that she was, you know, the mother got home and she sat and she was like, you know what? That wasn't enough. I'm going to go to the principal. Like, this lady should be drawn and quartered. It's just, it is such the complainer culture that everybody's offended at all times. I can guarantee you these kids have heard worse from their friends and their parents and their friends.
Well, these are hold on. These are kindergarten kids. I don't think a kindergarten.
I forgot how old they are.
Yeah.
You know what? Sure.
Yeah, but they weren't like bad words. They weren't like really, really bad words.
Well, what was it? What were the words? I don't remember. She said shit.
I think one was damn and shit. You know. Like, really, mom, she wasn't, like, screaming, motherfucker, you know?
Here's the thing. I agree with you guys 100%. The poll agreed 100%. But let's think about where we are. We've seen teachers lose their jobs from social media posts. Somebody will find a picture of a teacher in a bikini or drinking, and they'll lose a job. So, I mean,
And that's ridiculous, too.
It is ridiculous, but if you're going to go with the train of thought, go, well, geez, this is right along that line, which I don't think it should be. If you're off the clock, you're off the clock.
Some teachers' contracts have morals clauses. Hmm? And, yeah, and they always used to do that. They used to be a lot more prescriptive about teachers' behavior in public and what morals you should be espousing, but some of them feel that they have the right to monitor teachers' behavior, you know, out in public in front of the students whenever, and they can be fired for such things. I mean, like, you know, Catholic schools, they'll say, you know, oh, well, that teacher's a lesbian, so she's out, because it's against their religion. I get that. But I mean, if you are saying that, you know, teachers have to behave a certain way, even on their off time, I always found that to be a ridiculous assumption. But then again, you think of the most outrageous scenario and you go, yeah, I don't want my kids seeing their teacher doing that. But, you know, like just normal adult behavior, you know, and saying the mildest things. And the little shit in the article says, oh, well, I can say that now because Mrs. Smith says it. It's like, oh, fuck you. You know, you heard daddy say worse words. Don't blame that on her. Irritating all around.
I remember seeing when I was in elementary school, my mom took me to a restaurant for lunch or dinner. I don't remember what it was. Restaurant in the mall. I think it was in Bamberger's in the Garden State Plaza for you Bergen County kids. Pip remembers. I don't know if Kevin remembers. I think it was in Bamberger's. It was like a buffet. Whatever. Nice restaurant. That's neither there. But I saw my art teacher like bussing tables, and that was uncomfortable for me. But you know, teachers get paid shit. I don't think we made a scene about it or anything. But it was so traumatizing on some level that all these years later, I still remember that my poor art teacher, and I still remember his black beard sitting there bussing tables. Like, oh, that kind of sucks. It's awkward.
One of my teachers was a lifeguard at one of the beaches down the shore, not like right on top of the town where I went to school, but close enough that he was obviously going to end up seeing. And I remember I was probably 8 or 9, and I remember seeing him, you know, in just the bathing suit and being like, that's weird. you never, at that age, you don't picture your teachers as people,
right,
who have bodies beneath whatever the clothes they wear. And I remember seeing it, and obviously I was with my parents, and they all said hello to him and whatever, and everybody acted completely normal, but I remember thinking, like, he shouldn't look like that. he should have clothes on.
Why is
nobody going up to him being like, you know, you shouldn't have your shirt off. You're a teacher. Like, this is going to affect people. I mean,
can you lifeguard in this winter coat? We really don't want to see your pecs, sir.
Right.
It all depends on what he looked like.
You know, Kevin was very attracted to him. At that moment, Kevin had stirrings.
He's why I started working out.
Kevin wants to be a perverted lifeguard, and it's working.
I remember seeing the other kindergarten teacher in school, I think Mrs. Ackerman, in the grocery store picking out, you know, milk or something, and it was just so shocking as a young kid, you know, kindergarten age or first grade or something, seeing her, like, actually having a life outside of school. But, I mean, if she had been at the bar screaming motherfucker, that would have been more exciting for me. But she never would. She was just behaving normally.
It all turned out okay. I think what the takeaway is, teachers, they need to go to school and stay home. That's really what they need to do. Teachers need to stop thinking that they can live a life outside of school. You're ruining children.
If you're a cop or if you're a teacher, don't have opinions.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
But now if you
that should be a question on the interview. Do you have an opinion about anything? Yes. Sorry.
However, if you become president, we require that you have an opinion about everything. And you need to share it as soon as it comes to your mind. Always.
And it needs to be the worst opinion possible.
Yes. I like the fact that our president is now fighting with Borat. But I'll just leave that there.
God help us.
I posted today on Facebook. I'm glad to see that our president is focusing all of the attention on Borat. Now that the country's great again, we can really hunker down and focus on the war on satire.
he told that whole story how Borat had tried to get him and
yeah.
He wasn't fooled by it. It's of course you were. Yeah, and you saved 100 soldiers from an assault. You're perfect. Nothing gets past you, Don.
Kevin, you know who was fooled by it? The president's attorney, which I would argue, Rudy Giuliani, which I would argue makes you even more stupid. What?
He was tucking his pants in.
It was a puppet show, I tell you. I'm not Putin's puppet as he's digging around in there. Jesus Christ. But anyway, yeah. So,
By the way, the fact that story about Giuliani and that video lasted a day and people are just 2020 and moved on.
Well,
could you imagine if that happened 15, 20 years ago? That would be everything would have ended. That would have all we talked about. It would have lasted months. There would have been an
explosion.
Yeah, but
we would have been on and on about it, now it's just so 2020, aliens could land this year, and we would be blasé.
No, I disagree. I don't think it has anything to do with 2020. I think it's on the scale of Giuliani. It's not so bad. I mean, when you look at all the batshit stuff he says and how he personally fucks Donald Trump, who's his client, every time he goes on Fox, there he goes, every time he goes on Fox News and opens up his mouth, you know what? Not a bad day for Rudy. Not a bad day.
You know what? I mean, I get what you're saying. When I watched that video, I was horrible. Legitimately.
I haven't seen the video yet. But I will say what's worse.
You avoided the video.
What?
You have to watch
it. I'm going
to
watch the movie.
You know what? First of all, it's obviously edited. So whatever happened was either not as bad or possibly worse than what the video makes it out to be. But he ends up in a very compromising situation in a bedroom with a much younger girl, and he touches her, and he's doing something with his pants, laying down on the bed. Whatever they edited out, whatever was removed, those facts alone are enough to say something bad happened here, something wrong happened here. But watching it, I just felt, I almost felt bad for him. He's just this, doddering old man who looks like he's trying to get a hand job in a hotel bedroom from a Russian girl. And, then when Borat jumps out, he's just like, why are you dressed? By the way, his first response is, why are you dressed like that? Not, who are you? Not, what's going on? Why are you dressed? The whole, it's sad and painful. King Rudy Giuliani, he was the face of putting the country back together during 9/11.
No, you're wrong. Terrorists. You're wrong. He was Rudy Giuliani. Now he's Trump's embarrassing bitch boy. There's a difference there. What I put on Facebook, I go, he went from America's mayor to America's masturbator. Because that's what the picture of him. He did this to himself. When he ran for president, what was it, 2008? When he tried to run in 2008 and America said, we'll pass, it all went downhill for Rudy Giuliani. You know what? He deserves this. And Donald Trump is just doing the most Trumpiest thing he could do by going after a comedian, because Donald Trump doesn't get humor. So this is just perfect. And, people are talking about COVID. Now we're talking about Cohen. Yeah, it's perfect. It's so 2020. But anyway, all right. I didn't really set up that story, but it was an interesting conversation nonetheless. So yes, America, Donald Trump's closing statement is he's going to attack Borat. That's where we're here. We're fucked.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
Ridiculous.
All right, let's do...
Hitler has priorities.
Let's do an outstanding display of spite. Kevin, this is Joe, Pip, and myself really enjoy spite, as you can imagine we would, because we're terrible human beings. So every so often, a good spite story comes out, and we'd like to share it with the fine folks.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
Global furniture giant IKEA thought it was a bright idea to hold a contest to name the street outside of a Spanish location, but wound up getting hammered when a snarky idea proposed by online trolls won. The road leading to the IKEA location in the town of Valladolid in northern Spain is now named Cala Me Falta Un Tornillo. I can't roll my tongue. You get it. Two L's. Or I'm Missing a Screw Street. The Independent UK reported. Yes, the name is a reference to IKEA's famous assemble-it-yourself products, which occasionally can be missing part or two in the packaging. 54% voted for the screw moniker in the Facebook poll. It beat out more ho-hum suggestions like there's no place like Home Street and hug on the couch. Ugh, kill yourself. More than 1,000 people weighed in. Cala Me Falta Un Tornillo leads to a shopping center that also features other big-name stores such as Apple, H&M, and Primark. The ready-to-assemble mecca took the street name in stride. We wanted to make our arrival here more special, involving its people and making them part of our identity. And Valladolid, always with a touch of humor, which defines our style. IKEA also raffled off 10 personalized reproductions of the winning street plaque as part of the contest. Listen, man, I think that is a tremendous, even though I think that's a tremendous display of spite by the folks.
I love that. That gets them back for every single time they were trying to put something together and something was missing. It's like, ha ha!
Now, I've never been to IKEA, ordered anything from IKEA that I know of. Have you guys? Is this a thing?
Yes.
Look at Pip. Yes.
It absolutely is.
I bought a few things from IKEA in the past. I don't remember it ever. I don't remember anything ever missing. But I remember it being a pain in the ass to put together, and that it never stayed together the way it was supposed to. So I get the overall sentiment behind this, but I never had the get to the end and where's that last screw? God damn it!
That would be maddening. I can't imagine you're fighting with this thing to find like this entertainment unit or whatever the hell it is, and you're missing pieces. That would freaking drive me nuts.
Yeah, they're really. Dad,
sorry. This is. I disagree as far as the spite aspect of it. This is brilliant marketing by IKEA. They didn't have to pick the guy who actually won. Like, if this was the name that actually won,
no, it was
a poll.
Could have
gone with something else and been like, they didn't get as many votes.
No, but I mean, everybody could see you won. And this is not good marketing. Hey, we're going to send you shit, but it's going to be missing parts. That's terrible marketing.
But it's laughing at themselves. It's being in on the joke.
It's not a joke. The joke being that your product sucks. That's not a joke I want to be in on.
Everybody's going to buy. It's not going to affect. Trust me. This isn't a secret. This isn't like the dirty little secret. Everybody makes this joke about IKEA. And it's just them embracing it, and I thought it was a funny little thing to do. I didn't think it was anything.
Oh, I strongly
really
disagree.
That shocking. I just saw it as a kind of a company going, you know what? This will be a chance for us to laugh at ourselves and show that we're bigger than the joke, and we get it.
No.
And
that's like the people who created the Etzel go, drive an Etzel. It may be a piece of crap, it may not. I mean, that's not the slogan you want.
But it's not saying it's a piece of crap. It's saying we've made a mistake once in a while. I'll tell you what, working in marketing and PR, I would have absolutely done this. I would have been like, listen, this will be, first of all, it's a news, you're in the news, any news is good news, and you're laughing at yourself. You're in on the viral meme. You're making yourself part of the meme. It's a great marketing decision.
What do you say, Pip? Break the tie.
I suppose that they could say that, you know, they could have, like, buried it and said, no, we're not going to use that. I mean, I think it's awesome that that many people thought that that was a great name. So it's like, it is an outstanding display of spite, but it's also really good that they used it and they just said, yeah, we fucked up. You know, I think that's good.
It's a Bodie McBoatface.
I know, Bodie McBoatface is wonderful. I think it's also very...
to go with that name. but they knew it was going to make a viral moment, which it did. They got incredible legs out of that, and they became a meme. The greatest marketing you can ask for now is the free marketing of memedom. And if you can control the message of that meme a little bit, even better.
Yeah, I don't think saying we don't send you all the parts is a great way to get your message out.
It's not. But our theme is an outstanding display of spite, and I think that in this case, what won is that the consumer got to say their point, and so it is still an outstanding display of spite.
Thank you, Pip. You're absolutely correct. Thank you for siding with me and not siding with the handsome Jew. We appreciate that, Pip. A sound decision indeed. All right.
I had two handsome Jews.
I'll take the compliment over the win.
Of course you will. You'll take what you can get.
I had two handsome Jews to argue with tonight. I'm very pleased.
Oh, look at Pip. Oh,
there's another Jew on the first portion?
I see what you did there.
Why don't you post another video of you lifting heavyweight one time so you could show off your ass? That's right. Kevin lifted heavy pound weight one time. He didn't have to do that. Kevin's not a modest man. Look at me. Look at me as his fucking spleen went out his ass. He didn't show the second rep.
I am in wonderful health.
So you would have us believe.
410 pounds. Listen, Devin, anytime you want to lift 415 pounds once, I will give you credit.
I did in college. I was drunk. What's your point? That was a fat girl.
She wanted to say something, but she thought better of it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Did you see me take those words right back into my mouth? Yeah. Yep.
I actually watched them go back into your mouth.
Yeah.
I know. I'm talented that way. I sometimes can put the brakes on.
All I saw was a fat joke just fucking laying out there to die. Thank you, you two. That's what happened right there. Fuck you both. I don't need this shit.
I let it go.
Yeah, of course you did, Mr. Mr. Muscles over here. And no, I don't want to lift 400 pounds. That's very heavy. Why? Is a small child trapped in
there?
Yeah, but see, I mean, I lift, not that you could tell. I lift, but I don't need to lift that type of weight. And is there a small child in peril? When do you ever need to lift 400 pounds?
God gave us two things, a mind and a body, and we should push both to its limits.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I'd rather see how many times I can orgasm in a day. That's pushing my body to the limit.
I'm sure they try to move. Appreciate that.
They do, but Facebook won't let me post it.
I don't try to move anything heavy unless there are Mentos involved.
Mentos?
Don't you remember the Mentos commercial where the guys pop some Mentos and they pick up a car?
No, I don't. But
can they hold the Mentos thing?
That I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember that specific one. I remember the Mentos commercial where like the European looking blonde hair kid like slides into a stranger's car with the Mentos.
Oh yeah, no, that was obnoxious.
No, nay. Whenever I feel like I need to hitch a ride and I'm too cheap for an Uber, I just slide into a car and bring some Mentos. It's good. Works out well for me.
And do they beat you with them?
No, I'm providing Mentos. Mentos makes everything better. I feel like if Biden runs on Mentos, he can bring America together. I feel like if he promises a pack of Mentos in every pot, our divisions will disappear.
Well, I'll tell you, anybody that's offering me candy is already on my good side.
Sure,
absolutely.
It's how you lost your virginity in high school. Okay.
You weren't supposed to tell that story anymore.
That's why I can't help it. We have guests. I want to regale.
Talk with the nylons.
All right. We got some. We're going to take our final break. We're going to come back with Boozy or Floozy. Fun game. If you guys are in the chat room and you want to participate, you certainly can. It's a fun game. We'll explain it when we come back. On the break, we have new music from Norm Saborin with Mr. President, Whole Lot of Trouble, and Looper Dupree with All the Girls. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. We'll be back shortly.